We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. As always, I will be joined on today's edition of the show by one of the co-owners of RotoViz. It is Sean Siegel. This is a special edition of the RotoViz OT podcast. We've done a few of these recently. We've got a lot of positive feedback regarding doing live drafts, which we've recorded, and then sharing them with the listeners, giving them an insight into how myself and Sean pick on the clock, as well as if it is a co-managed team with our guest. We did one with Blair Andrews. We're going to have more of these coming up over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be fun. We'll be drafting in the FFPC main event. We do more Football Guys Players Championships and more to share. And I think one of the things that have been fed back by the listeners, we're doing some slow drafts with them at the moment in listener leagues. We're going to try and do one live one as well along with the listeners. Maybe we'll do the same with that, but lots of positive feedback around these drafts. So here is another one, and we're going to have a special guest for this one. It is going to be Anthony Amico, who you can follow on Twitter at Amicsta. That is A-M-I-C-S-T-A. He's one of our favorites. Love having him on, and he's always fun to talk to. Great follow on social media. Great fantasy football writer. Check out all his thoughts. Check out his Substack as well. That's over at amicsta.substack.com. Great information coming your way from Anthony. But we are going to be drafting today in the Football Guys Players Championship. It is over at the FFPC. And we have got the number 11 spot, so we're going to get straight into it. We do talk for 5 to 10 minutes before the draft starts, then we go through our first couple of round picks, and it's going to be fun to listen in to see how the draft talk goes, how the strategy goes, as you hear what myself, Sean, and Anthony think, and what players we should be selecting to try and get that optimum lineup. So we're going to see how it goes here, picking from the 111 spot. Let's go into it. So we're getting ready here to go aboard the draft train over here in the Football Guys Players Championship. It's going to be a fun one, and we're going to be joined here by Anthony Amico. I did reach out to Anthony a few weeks ago. We were kind of setting this up, and I did tell Sean this during the week, but Anthony did, I joked about drafting running backs. Anthony said that he couldn't imagine of a bigger regret in his life than drafting with me and Sean and selecting a running back. So good news is we have landed with the 11th spot in the draft. Anthony, which running back are we taking at spot 11?
Well, I mean, kind of the funny thing is I feel like with this group, I probably could have made a compelling argument from pretty much any other draft spot other than like one to take a non-running back. It's a little easier at 11, but this is going to be great. I mean, I think we're going to be in a prime spot for like the Wallers, the Diggs, that group. And, I'm hoping that it kind of breaks our way here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Sean, where are you looking to go? We did the draft a couple of weeks ago with, I believe it was our own draft, not the draft of Blair that we had the 11 spot, but anything that we learned from that you're going to try and bring in here?
Well, the tricky part is that now it continues to look like Barkley is not going to be 100% or used very heavily in the first month, which potentially pushes him down. We've seen him, I mean, he got to us at 12 recently with Blair. If Carson Wentz is out, then I haven't been concerned about any of the elements with Jonathan Taylor, right? He's not going to have a problem with Marlon Mack. He's going to get his share of the passing work. Even and he's a superstar. So I'm not concerned about the week 14 bye, because regardless of format, you navigate that bye through the rest of your draft. You've got to take the best player. But if Carson Wentz is out and this offense is, I mean, this offense you're now looking at as being the worst offense in football, right? He becomes less interesting even at the end. My concern would be that these guys fall so far that Hill and Diggs and Adams are all gone at 11. Hopefully at least one of them will get to us. Anthony, what do we do if we get into a disaster scenario and those guys are gone and the running backs are still there?
I mean, we probably have to kind of make a decision. You know, we have to do the tough thing and probably the right thing. And I mean, I still think that the Wentz thing is maybe not going to be too terrible. I know that they're getting him tested. It doesn't really sound like we're going to know, obviously, like in the time frame until we pick would probably only be a few minutes. but like, I can't imagine that like Jacob Eason is going to be their starter no matter what. Like, I have to think that they're going to be on the phone with, you know, New England for Cam, with San Francisco for Garoppolo, with the Bears for Nick Foles. I mean, those guys aren't great, but I think that they would at least be serviceable in a scenario where you have a, you know, a true alpha back in Jonathan Taylor.
And to be honest, we don't know that those guys are a lesser option than Carson Wentz at this point. So we'll see what happens. But I think it'll be interesting if those guys are there. We've drafted one of each of those two guys in our last two drafts, Sean. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. I'd probably say Taylor is the one that I'd probably, if we had to take one to 11, ideally, maybe they get one of them would get back to us at the second round. But I think it's gonna be interesting just to see how it plays out. Obviously every draft room has, you know, its own intricacies, but maybe if wide receivers do get pushed up a bit, maybe we see a situation where maybe Waller slides a little bit or something like that. So if Waller was there, would that be somebody you'd be interested in, Anthony?
Love Darren Waller, absolutely. I mean, he's a receiver at tight end. He's closer to Kelsey than I think the rest of the other tight ends. Is the only guy that I think can even really compete for that tight end one spot if we're just talking about, like, you know, just mapping out all the ranges of outcomes. So I'm definitely pro Waller.
Yeah, so like, you know, that mightn't happen, but I'm just looking in terms of current ADP, we still have, you know, Diggs going kind of around 12 or 13. So if he does go earlier and if Adams goes earlier, something's going to have to drop. So outside of, it could just be Taylor and Barkley, and hopefully Ezekiel Elliott won't be there at that point. So it's going to be interesting, but I think we're going to probably be looking at a wide receiver start if we can. But we've seen in the last couple of drafts, Sean, we've done that the players that maybe were hoping to be there have not tended to be there, but this might be the day that they're all there for us.
We're hoping for wide receivers to at least fall to ADP. We haven't seen hardly any of the guys make it back to the spots that they have been in. Anthony, one of the things that we've talked about on the show at length and kind of want to get everybody's input on as we get to this point, as we keep getting these terrible, terrible draft slots in terms of expected win rate, the problem at wide receiver is not just that people are overconfident in the depth, but if you get one of these positions at the back of the round, then I think that there's a big tier break in the middle of round three, a big tier break in the middle of round five. And so when you're drafting at the 3-4 turn and the 5-6 turn, you're getting dramatically less value than people got just a handful of picks earlier. Do you see that work out in your drafts? Are you concerned about that? How should we be proactive? Because if we know that's going to happen, we need to develop an approach that minimizes it.
Yeah, I have noticed that. I think especially now that some of these younger players, you know, the T. Higgins, the Laviska Shenaults, like those guys are getting pushed up the board a little bit. Definitely has made it a little pricier to invest in those guys. And the position as a whole. But I think if we just continue to invest in the profiles that we know tend to exceed ADP, we know like when these players break out, they break out usually in a way that beats ADP by, you know, multiple rounds, especially when we're talking about mid-round players. So I think we just focus on those kinds of profiles. And we're selective with where we choose tight end, which I know is always kind of tricky in the FFPC format. I think that's kind of how we can turn the table there.
Yeah. And I think like when you're, Sean kind of touched on that, I think what you're talking about, Sean, is that part where, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Terry McLaurin go off the board and then there's, you know, a decision to be made. So again, let's hope things fall right for us today, but it does feel like those are the areas that picking from the 111, 110 that your drafts really can swing is if those guys are there, you're in an amazing spot. But if they're gone, then it's trying to make those decisions. And you mentioned the ADP 2 months ago when I was drafting, I was happy to, you know, take LaVisca Chenault around ahead of ADP. But now if I'm taking him at the spot I was taking him 2 months ago, I'm around late. Like the thing that people are just drafting those guys a lot earlier than they were back at that point. So as the clock ticks down, we're just around 30 seconds away from the draft starting. So it's going to be fun now as we see the picks roll in. I'm not expecting anything drastic here over the first couple of picks, but it's going to be interesting. Sean, have you done any drafts since the Aaron Rodgers news?
No, this will be the first one since that. We were sort of on the clock almost when things came out with that. Previously, our decision to go in that draft with Adams and Rodgers played out extremely well. We won't get the same prices on those guys in this draft. Anthony, the other kind of big question that I think in a lot of ways determines how you draft in 2021. It seems silly to say that like one team determines how your draft goes, but the San Francisco 49ers, they have Garoppolo. They have this rookie QB who has this amazing potential hybrid scoring profile once he gets into play, but then the offense could become very run oriented. George Kittle, someone we could be looking at the turn. You mentioned the difficulty and the necessity of working through a tight end approach. Where are you with Kittle and Ayuk and Samuel in an offense that could maybe not have the passing volume that we would hope?
Yeah, I kind of think that we want to consider the flip side of this, which is like, what if Trey Lance is actually the key to unlocking some of these guys? What if Trey Lance is, you know, what gets this offense moving in a way that they couldn't under Jimmy G? What if part of the reason that Jimmy G was seeing low pass volume was preservation, you know, because he gets injured so frequently? It's not advantageous to them to use him in creative ways. It's not advantageous to the Niners to, you know, have him drop back in situations where he just doesn't have to. So I'm kind of looking at it from that perspective where, like, you know, Lance, if he's operating at a level that we think he can, you know, that worthy of a number three pick, you know, worthy of kind of all the stuff that we've considered about him, you know, I think we can still get there with those guys with efficiency. We can still get there with touchdowns. And I think if you look at their skill players, those three guys make up, like, could be in position to make up, you know, 80 to 90% of their target share. Like, it could just be an offense run through those three players in the passing game. And if that happens and things break right, like, I think all those guys can still do very, very well. So I'm still targeting those players in my drafts.
So as the draft has started, we have Christian McCaffrey, Travis Kelce, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and then Stephon Diggs going off the board, Ezekiel Elliott off the board next. So I think Derrick Henry going off the board would be the next player I'd like to see, and then maybe we start to talk about who might fall to us. Ideally in this situation, but it's not going to happen, would be Taylor Barkley also go. But I think we're going to be looking at a spot where I think we're going to be looking at probably Devontae Adams with this 11th pick, unless we see him go off the board here, now that I've mentioned it.
What do you guys make of, like, this Packers situation now? You know, we're assuming that Rodgers is going to play. Obviously, Adams has smashed the last 2 years, but I think some of that has maybe been because of that big target share. Now they bring back Randall Cobb, someone that Aaron Rodgers maybe trusts a little more. Do you see that impacting Adams in any way? Where do you kind of think this passing game is going this year?
I don't think it's going to affect Adams all that much. I think, like, he's been extremely efficient with the targets that he has got. And I think, like, a big part of his production, and I know, look at this, could regress, but he's kind of proven to be a very, very high consistency touchdown scorer as well. So he gets those red zone targets. I think we're going to see a pretty efficient offense. We've seen how much of a step forward it took last year in year two, and I think in year three it should be much of the same. You know, the concern was that Rodgers wouldn't be there. Rodgers is there now, so I don't have a huge amount of concern across that offense. But the other part is Cobb is back, but I don't think we're going to see, like, you know, Cobb, like, absolutely blowing up the stats numbers. I think he's going to be there to be a role player in that team. So I'm very confident in Adams this year. The one player I think it makes quite interesting. And I know there was a lot of touchdowns to his scoring last year, but I think it makes Tonyan a little bit more interesting, the tight end, to see if he can take another step forward in this season. Sean, how do you feel overall about the Packers? I know we talked about AJ Dillon and having Rodgers back should lead to more opportunities for guys like him in the red zone.
I do. I think that Adams is still a superstar here, a guy that we want to target in terms of that upside. I mean, even when they had a little bit more a couple of years ago, he's one of the receivers who has the touchdown ability to give you that wide receiver type season. Now, we're on the clock. Adams was selected. Tyreek Hill is still here. That feels like a gift. Anthony, is this a no-brainer selection?
Yeah, I think we just thank the room and we move on 100%.
Yeah, this is the first time I've actually seen Hill last this long in the draft. I didn't even mention him as the options to get because I didn't think he'll be here. So I'm very happy, Sean, to go there, and I assume you are as well.
Yeah, so Hill, I think, the guy who could blow up to Adams type of levels this season. Now, we've already seen him kind of in that range, but one of the reasons that people have gotten sucked in to this trap of going with the Uber backs is that you have this upside into the 23, 24, 25 point per game scorers. That changes the dynamic a little bit, takes it away from zero RB, makes it to where you want to have that McCaffrey exposure early. But now people are drafting all kinds of running backs who still don't have that upside. Hill's upside greater than most of the running backs who are being taken here, and he fits much better structurally. So this gives us a chance to build from an extremely high floor, extremely high ceiling situation with our first round pick. As we wrap back around here, who do we want now in round two?
Well, the guy at the 112 is taking Aaron Jones. We're waiting on his second pick here. So it does mean Jonathan Taylor or Barkley is going to be here. I think Taylor is quite interesting at this point. Outside of that, I would be looking towards Hopkins or Ridley. I would prefer Ridley out of the two, but I'm open to the consideration. Are we any consideration here, Anthony, for either of the running backs, which is now Jonathan Taylor as Saquon Barkley is gone?
Yeah, so I'm just seeing on Twitter the Wentz injury involves a bone and a ligament, so they're bracing for possible surgery for him. So we're gonna have to wait and see, I guess, on the quarterback situation there. I think that Ridley is prime for a pretty big season, so I would be comfortable taking him here, but I'm obviously curious what you guys think.
Would you prefer George Kittle? He isn't someone I had put into the queue, but he was our other choice there. I think that Ridley and Kittle are both dynamic, both interesting from a structural perspective.
I would go Ridley out of those two guys. I do think Taylor's an interesting value at that point, but I think if we're shooting here for the upside, I think I would probably push towards Ridley if we are concerned about the Wentz injury.
Yeah, let's go Ridley.
Hey everybody, this is Dave Cabin from the RotoViz flagship podcast, just stopping by to say thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio. We're offering our listeners a special 10% discount when they use the promo code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off a one-year subscription when you use the promo code RVRadio2021. Thanks for listening and keep on tuning in.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it was a tricky one there, if I'm honest. I didn't think Taylor would last to that spot, and I thought he would, and he's gone in the next pick. But I think that obviously the injury to Wentz, I kind of hinted at it earlier, though, like if there's a different quarterback there, does that potentially even help Taylor? Like you mentioned Cam. I know then when you get in near the goal line, you're going to lose out on possible rushing touchdowns, but you know it probably open up more in the running game than it would with Wentz. So let's see what happens. But the quick spot there, Anthony, on the old Twitter sphere to get us the latest breaking news. You didn't think we would get the news before our pick, but we left it to the second round. We just got the scoop just in time.
Yeah, it turns out Twitter always knows, you know, just right when you need it.
I'm not a huge fan of Carson Wentz and the Jonathan Taylor.
I thought you were going to say you're not a huge fan of Twitter. I thought that was what you were going to say.
I would say I would be completely out on Jonathan Taylor if Cam Newton is the quarterback. Not only can he not play anymore, but the way that he cannibalizes those running back touchdowns is a real concern for me. I mean, Taylor would be an awesome choice, but I really did want to have a pure and, in fact, extreme zero RB build with Anthony on the show today. And I think having Ridley and Hill could both end up with 32% target shares, right? I mean, that would be toward the high end, obviously. But you're talking about two absolute stars who have a secondary target to take defensive attention, but perhaps don't have much else to take actual target volume. And so when we're talking about that level of talent with quality quarterbacks, you have some elements with the Falcons where their overall setup with the dome and some other things is very positive for scoring points. I think that we could have two guys who average 22 points a game at wide receiver with our first two picks. Again, we're talking more toward the upper end of what's reasonable. But when you have talent and situation and structural drafting all pointing in the same direction, then you know that's all you can really ask for when you're making these early picks. I do like the idea of taking Kittle there, especially with Anthony being on board. We haven't gotten too many people who are strongly on board with the sort of 49ers receivers, so it'll be kind of fun to have that extra flexibility in terms of targeting some of those guys. The thing that passing on Kittle does is perhaps open us up for a TJ Hockenson selection at the 3-4. Anthony, when you're talking about the necessity kind of hit on the right types of guys at tight end, where would you be on Hockenson this season?
I mean, I love him. We're talking about guys who can get high target shares. I think Hockenson would be a nice addition to that group. There just isn't a lot else there. You know, the Lions have, if not the lowest, one of the lowest win totals. Like, they're going to be behind in a lot of games. And Jared Goff isn't good, maybe. I don't know. I guess the jury's kind of out. But, like, he's probably going to play every game. And we know that he can at least get the ball to the tight end. Like, I don't know. I'm very bullish on Hockenson. I know some people are maybe worried that the volume could be a little empty in terms of the touchdowns, but I think especially when you're playing in the FFPC, where you're getting that bonus for those tight end receptions, I think that concern is a little nullified. And, you know, on the high end, maybe you still end up with him getting a decent touchdown season just because of like the nature of his role in that offense.
You mentioned Jared Goff, and I think that's an interesting question. I've read some puff pieces in the Detroit media suggesting that he looks fantastic. Obviously, they have familiarity with Matthew Stafford and how he's looked in practices. It's interesting because the Rams receiving core seems to be getting a bump from Stafford coming. The guys in Detroit, in part because they have such a terrible group of wide receivers, and that's, you know, in the modern NFL, if your receivers are terrible, your offense isn't going to function very well. But guys like Hockenson and DeAndre Swift, for example, I mean, you mentioned what the game script is going to be. I mean, DeAndre Swift could lead the NFL in receptions. It's not like these guys with the Rams, you know, talking Woods, talking Kupp, talking Todd Gurley before his body broke down. It's not like those guys didn't score points with Jared Goff at quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that we're maybe giving a little bit too much credit to Sean McVay. I mean, I think that he's great, but I don't know if we should just like assume that Jared Goff minus McVay is like the, you know, 40th best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, this front office in Detroit, you know, Brad Holmes, he was someone who was part of the front office in with the Rams that like drafted Goff. And I think that they are going to give him like a genuine chance to see if he can actually be their guy long-term. I think that's part of why they didn't draft the quarterback this year. I mean, part of it, obviously it doesn't fit their timeline, but I think they are going to give him like an honest shot. And I'm not totally out yet on Jared off. I don't necessarily want to be a fantasy QB this year, but in terms of what he can do for a guy like Hockenson, I think that it's fine.
Yeah, like, where are we on Goff? Do we think he's Andy Dalton or below Andy Dalton in terms of, like, say, what he did, you know, through the mid 2010s with, you know, AJ Green and Co in Cincinnati? Do we think he's worse than that, or do we think he can support something like that?
I mean, I think he's fine. Yeah, I mean, like, is Andy Dalton bad? Like, I'm fine.
No, that's what I mean. Like, that's probably where I'm. That was my over under. Is like, if he does that, like, you know, Hockenson's in a really good spot, and the offense can still function, and we're probably not going to get like 17 weeks off, you know, phenomenal quarterback play, but we're going to get enough to put fantasy points on the board. That's what we're looking at, you know, overall.
And I think the receivers. I mean, I know that they're not particularly sexy, but like Tyrell Williams has like kind of been really efficient in his career. Like, he just hasn't been able to stay on the field, and somewhat similar for Breshad Perriman. So I don't think that this is like a group that we aspire to be by any stretch, but like, I kind of think that those receivers can be good enough to take some pressure off of covering Hockenson. I mean, part of it, like, covering tight ends is kind of difficult in general, but you know, if those guys can lift the lid off just a little bit, I kind of think that that's all we need.
So we're getting close to our next pick here. It's at the 306. We'll be at the 311. Some interesting options here that I would be interested in. Terry McLaurin, TJ Hockenson, DJ Moore are probably leading the list for me. The other one that's there, that in terms of ADP and in terms of the tight end position that would be going, is Kyle Pitts. Out of those guys, Anthony, any of those intriguing you more than others?
Yeah, I think we just want to see who falls to us here. I mean, this is a really great group, I think. Where we are, we're definitely guaranteed to get one of the tight ends or McLaurin or DJ Moore. So I think we probably want one of those guys here. I mean, Sean, you talked about like breaking through those tiers and dealing with those tiers at receiver. I think one way to do that is by taking the stud second tier tight end. So I think that that's definitely a move to consider.
And one of the things that we've seen, and this may set up for us okay for our extreme zero running back approach, although it's tricky because obviously round three always comes back and is very wide receiver heavy, but we did see six teams start running back in this draft. And we just recorded Ben, Gretch and I, a Stealing Bananas episode with Rich Rebar. And he was complaining about the fact that because of the way people are drafting, that you can get a Christian McCaffrey, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson start. And that's exactly what happened in this league.
Yeah, the other part as well, I do see one team with a start that is quite nice, and Stephon Diggs, George Kittle, and CeeDee Lamb as well. So there's some teams building kind of the approach we'd like, but as you mentioned, it's a heavy, you know, double. There's a lot of teams here with two running backs through those first three rounds. So we're back on the clock. We have the option of Hockenson and Moore. I know we all have said we liked Hockenson. We all have said we like Moore. Ideally, we would get both of those guys, but how are we approaching it to try and see does one of them come back in the following round?
Well, Hockenson's ADP is about a full round earlier. If we don't select him here, there's a pretty good chance that we miss him on the turn. So I think that if we're all comfortable, all set with the Detroit passing attack, that we want to go ahead and make sure we have Hockenson and have that potentially elite tight end wrapped up.
Yeah, I'm all good with that. So we'll take Hockenson there. And we'll leave it there for today's edition of the Draft Special. We have just got TJ Hockenson. We'll see how things play out. I think we are off to a good start. Pretty pleased with how things are playing out so far with that number 11 draft slot. We will be having a few more of these. It's going to be a five-part series. The last part will be a recap as we break down our team and some of the other teams in the draft. But as you can hear, drafting with Anthony is a ton of fun. There's a lot of good information in there as we debate players, who we like, who we don't like. You'll get lots more of that coming up as we go through the series that will be dropping on the RotoViz Overtime podcast feed throughout the week, as well as the regular three RotoViz Overtime podcast. So I think we have you pretty much covered for about seven shows this week. So do check them all out. Lots of content. We're trying to get you ready for the season. Hopefully you will enjoy it. Once again, as always, you can get yourself a listener's discount to a RotoViz NFL pass. All you have to do is add the code RotoViz 2021 at checkout. That'll save you 10%, get you access to all of the content and tools up on the RotoViz website. And with that, my reminder is to make sure you're following Anthony on Twitter at Amixta. You can check out my Twitter feed as well. It's at Overtime Ireland. And of course, Sean is at FF_contrarian. But as we know, you're not going to probably get any content coming from there. So check out all his fantastic, fantastic work up on rotoviz.com, as well as on this podcast and the Stealing Bananas podcast. But really and truly, we're going to have these ramping out to you this week. But if you do have feedback on the team, if you want to jump in on that Twitter conversation, let us know over on Twitter. You can tag myself and Anthony and let us know your thoughts. But that's going to do it for this edition. Of course, until we're back again, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.